I thought I heard my mother's voice and it really was her. She said to me, "It's me, your mother." And my first words were, "Free me. How did you get here?" "They sent me to you. I can bring you some comfort."
"Comfort?
Where do you live?" I asked. "And how are you and your father?" She said they had had a difficult time, but that things were a little better for them now. I should just be brave and hopeful. I too would be freed again.
Yes, brave and hopeful. But when would I be freed from this loneliness and darkness?
I asked my mother to come as close to me as possible. And she came and sat down on a stone next to me. Then she said to me, "You see, it is like this. Those who have been humiliated in human life are exalted here in this world of the soul. Those who have had to suffer unjustly are among the righteous here."
"Yes, that is how it is," she said to me. "Those who have been tormented by us have a much easier lot here. They have had to endure much unjustly, and now, here in this world, heaven has brightened for them. They are the privileged everywhere. They have had to endure injustice, they have been treated unjustly, but heaven gives them justice back. And they are always and everywhere the first, they are called upon first, they have the advantage everywhere. Those who have suffered, who have been humiliated and degraded, will be here first, and any request they make will be granted.
And what have we done? You see, this is how it is. Whoever has lived for the world and won it has lost the kingdom of heaven, and whoever has lost the world has lost the kingdom of heaven."
Yes, that was clear to me. And my mother drew my attention to the words that Christ had spoken, to those words that say that whoever gains the whole world but loses his soul will lose the kingdom of heaven, Mark 8:36. This is also the case with everything that happens, with everything that people experience. No one who has to suffer or endure something unjustly will bear it in vain if he is righteous in the eyes of God. Now I asked my mother to stay with me. I was interested in how she had found her way to me. And she just said, "They sent me to you, they brought me close to you and said, 'We give everyone comfort from time to time.'" But my mother was not allowed to stay, she was called and had to leave again. So she said goodbye to me, and I just asked her to come back as soon as possible. But she called after me, "My son, pray. Ask in the name of the Savior, so that he will forgive you as he has forgiven us. Ask for this, and forgive all your debtors, so that everyone can forgive you too. Ask God to be merciful to you, and never stop asking and praying." Those were her words. Yes, I tried, I had nothing else to do.
And this loneliness and this darkness was something terrible for me. Because to leave a life that had given you only the most pleasant things, in which everything was made comfortable for you, and you had it the way you wanted it, and now suddenly to experience the opposite, no amenities, nothing comfortable, no light, nothing at all, having to do without everything, that was a stark difference. And so I really had time to think. This and that came to mind, and I was aware of my guilt. So all I could do was ask God to forgive me, and I did so again and again. I waited longingly for my mother to visit, but she did not come back. I was alone. I screamed in despair and called on God for help. And then, suddenly, I believed that it could not be true. I saw a small light in the distance. It came closer and closer, and I had the feeling that it was getting bigger and bigger. And suddenly a figure stood in front of me. Brightly lit, it looked like a sun. Only this figure was alight and illuminated the surroundings. This beautiful figure, this angel of God, said to me, "I come to you to bring you comfort and to pray with you. I bring you comfort because people pray for this, because it is the wish of these people that the unfortunate ones are taken care of. And so I bring you some hope and some comfort, but I cannot free you from this place. I will come to you from time to time and pray with you." So I was satisfied. And I saw the whole area, because this wonderful being illuminated my surroundings. Now I saw what I had felt. I was in a place full of unevenness. Here and there were large and small stones that one could have easily fallen over in the darkness, then a tomb that one could have fallen into. That was why I had stayed where I was.
And I remembered exactly where I was. I could move a few meters without falling down anywhere. Of course, I also asked how long I would have to stay here. The angel said, "There is no time for you. I cannot set a time for you, but I can tell you one thing. If you now always live in the night, I will still come to break this night. I will already share something of this night and bring you some light. I am for you like the day, which is only short, before their long, long night that comes again after me. But you cannot calculate when I will come back, when the day will come again." And I begged this being on my knees, "Stay with me, or come back to me quickly." But this being also said, "I will come when I am allowed to visit you." The more fervently you pray and are able to change your thoughts and change your feelings, improve yourself in your innermost being, direct your thinking differently, towards the high and the beautiful, the sooner I will come to you more often and stay with you longer and longer. I tried to force my thoughts to rise. I didn't want to be reminded of the past. I didn't want to think about the life I had lived. I just wanted to move forward and just wanted to pray that God would forgive me. And so I did. I couldn't calculate how long I had to live in this darkness, but it was a pleasure for me to have the angel with me more and more often and for longer periods of time. Then one day he said to me, "I know a way that could free you from this darkness." "What is it?" I wanted to know. "As far as I know," said the angel, "your new life on earth is being prepared. You can postpone it a little longer, or you can ask to come into this life on earth even sooner and thus come out of this spiritual darkness." "Yes, that was my wish. And what would the price be?" The angel said, "When you become human again, you will be blind." Blind, terrible. I had already had enough of this darkness, and to wander through my whole life and not see anything must be terrible. So I said, "This is just a continuation of the suffering that I am enduring here." And the angel said, "In a certain sense it is a continuation, but it is a much shorter part. If you enter into human life and take on this task as it is destined for you and try to fulfill it, then you will shorten your time of suffering and you can gain a lot for your future. You will then overcome this slowness and this suppression and, when you have affirmed your life and come back, you can climb many steps. And you will no longer need to go through the atonement if you can make amends on earth all at once." I asked if I could think about it. The angel talked to me and said, "A new earthly life is probably the best thing for you. And I will promise you that I will accompany you in your human life. I will remain your friend," said this high being to me, "I will accompany you." And I said, "But then I will be blind, I cannot see you." "Oh yes," replied this being, "we will have a good conversation and I will give you a lot of strength. I will lead you by my hand and I will try to get you over all the difficulties. I promise to support you and guide you if you can agree to enter the new life as quickly as possible." I had nothing to lose, so I said, "If it is God's will and if it is of benefit to my soul's salvation, then I agree." And so I was taken out of this darkness and put into a sleep. I knew nothing more. The transformation, was carried out in me by the angels of God and I was reborn and had to go through life blind. I was lucky to have good parents. They were not rich people, but people who had to work hard to get the bare necessities together. But they both loved me very much and I was their only child. So they gave me what they could and tried to make my path through life easier. But I couldn't go to school, a school for the blind or anything like that. No, I couldn't, the conditions weren't right for that, there were no opportunities. But my parents had worked for me, and they had made sure that I could do something too. My father, who had learned to weave baskets, taught me how to do it, and so we did it together. So my parents had taken care of me. I had my work, my occupation, and I could bear many things better. My parents were pious people, and I was brought up and lived in that spirit. I sometimes asked why I of all people wasn't allowed to see anything, and they answered me, "It is God's will that it should be like that, and God's will is right, everything is right as He created it. You must now make this great sacrifice, and if you endure all this bravely, you will receive your reward in heaven. So I hoped that I would receive this reward. But now my spirit could detach itself from my body at night, when my body was resting, and establish a connection with the spiritual world, and in this spiritual connection was the care of that spiritual friend. She brought me comfort. For the spirit is not blind. In spirit I was able to see, I saw with the spiritual eyes. And I knew, when I am again wrapped in the human body, I cannot see with the earthly eye, I can only see with the spiritual eye. And so I also had my dreams. I experienced this acquaintance with this wonderful being that traveled with me in my dreams. It went with me to other countries and explained to me the customs and traditions of other peoples. In my spirit I saw these people, what they looked like, and I saw nature, how wonderful it was. And this friend of mine explained all these events to me in my dream. She described to me how man sees nature with his earthly eye, how he admires the flower kingdom, how colorful it is for man too, that not only the spiritual eye sees this great, diverse splendor of color, but that it is also given to man who admires these things, just as one admires it in spirit. And this being explained to me, yes, what one sees in spirit is everything so fine and so delicate. But in the material world it is much coarser, the colors are no longer so delicate, the forms no longer so noble. It is also very beautiful, and people say it is perfect, but in the spiritual world everything is much nobler, much more beautiful. And my friend explained, it is like this, when something is wrapped in a material body, be it an animal, a plant, a flower or something else, something of the nobleness and the beautiful forms is lost during the transformation. The most beautiful thing that can be produced is produced, but the spiritual form is much nobler, much more beautiful. That is why my friend said to me, what you experience here, people cannot see and experience so completely with their eyes. Because he sees it imperfectly with his earthly eye, he cannot see things perfectly. And so she tried to explain to me, using various objects, what they look like when people own them. The fact that I could see these wonderful things with my spiritual eye was also meant to be a consolation. And this friend devoted herself to me and traveled with me. Just as people go on this or that journey, experience a lot and talk about it, this angel now told me and went on a journey with me. I was allowed to see it with my spiritual eye and he explained to me how people see it in their world, in the material form. Yes, he said, it is now as if people have the opportunity to speak to a being from the beyond and to listen to him when he speaks of the forms and shapes in the spiritual world, how beautiful and how noble they are. People hear it and can imagine it, but they do not see it. And in this way the angel explained to me what these forms look like on earth, and I could imagine it, but I didn't see them with my earthly eyes. But I was overjoyed, because this sister was a loyal friend to me. Not all of the experiences, not all of the conversations were brought to my consciousness, but a lot of them. I sometimes told this to my parents or my friends who were with me. And they were always amazed at me and said, that's just how it is, when someone is blind, they see into the other realm, they find a substitute there and can experience much more wonderful things that a person who only sees with their earthly eyes cannot experience. I was grateful for what I could see. I didn't know exactly how my fellow human beings reacted to it. They were always polite to me and never wanted to hurt me. They simply expressed to me, you cannot see with your earthly eye, but you have another eye, the spiritual eye. And if you say that it is so, it must be true. That is what they always said to me. When I was able to take such dreams into my consciousness, I had the feeling that I was so strengthened and enjoyed life, even though I was blind. I would then sometimes ask my fellow human beings, bring me an animal near me, or lead me to it. Let me touch it and feel it. Because if I touch it, I can say exactly whether it is as I was told in the dream. Because even in dreams the animals are shown to me and I can imagine them very precisely. And so I want to touch it and then be convinced that it is as this angel told me. And so I was repeatedly asked this favor. I was taken to animals. Animals were brought to my house, and I touched them and enjoyed them. I was also brought flowers, and I took them one by one, touched them and remembered what had been explained to me in this way. I always thought, it must be much more beautiful in the spiritual realm. That is how my life turned out. I said yes to life, and I had my parents to thank for being able to do that. They took such good care of me, and the people around me also showed me nothing but love. And that is how my whole life went until I was allowed to leave this world and then entered the spiritual realm. I was not blind then, I saw everything that was around me. And the first to greet me was my sister, my friend, and she said to me, "Well, kind brother, you see, now the time is over, the time of suffering on earth, and it has passed so quickly." And my words were, "Why did I have to go through life like this? My parents were not blind, and no one in my family was blind." "Yes," said this angel, "no one in your family was blind. But we will tell you, explain why you had to go through life as a blind person. But first we want to be happy, first we want to celebrate, because you can see again, because you have now affirmed your life and because you have done so much good and made so much good." Done good? Yes, what good had I done? I had returned the kindness and the love that had been given to me, that was all I could do. I could be tolerant of my fellow human beings, and I spoke to them in the same language as they spoke to me. And that was supposed to be the merits. "Yes," said the angels, "we have asked little of you in this respect, but much was asked of you because you had to go through life as a blind person, because you had to do without so much. And now my father and mother, who had long been in the spirit world, approached me. They came up to me and hugged me. I was overjoyed and said, 'I see, I see. I am not blind, I am not blind. I am glad that I am here. I am glad that it is over. I see, oh, how beautiful it is.' And they also said, 'Oh, we are happy, we were so longing for you, and now we are happy, we are together, and we can all see. Yes, we can see.' Then the angel of God came and said to me, 'You had to go through life blind because you had a great debt.' 'Yes,' I said, 'but did not ask about this debt. If the angel said that I had a great debt, then it must be true.' But I did not take an interest in it first and asked, 'What debt? What kind of debt?' 'No,' I said, 'it will be true.' 'Yes,' later, they said, 'we will tell you about these details. For the time being there was nothing but joy for me. I wanted to see now, wanted to look, and they led me around. They led me around with my parents and friends in the areas where I had come to. I admired everything. Yes, when I was still living on earth, my spirit had not been blind either. I had also seen in those times when the angel of God had led me. But now I had a completely different feeling than before. Back then, I knew that with a jolt, with the slightest fright, I would be led back into my body and into blindness. But here, in this world, nothing could frighten me, nothing could lead me back into this blindness. Now I was able to see forever. Yes, that was how it was. And they were happy, and we had come together with many friends and had celebrated for a long, long time and were over and over happy. Then they said to me, 'You should now also have a look into what you left behind, how you lived.' So they showed me again the life I had lived, how I grew up, and how my parents looked after me with love. I was allowed to see this life again, and I was allowed to see myself in it again. And then they said, 'Now we will give you a small excerpt from that time, from whence came the cause of your life and blindness.' Then they only showed me excerpts, they did not want to bring up this other life again, they were only excerpts, and that was enough for me. It was as if a veil had fallen from me and as if I knew that I had already lived several times as a human being on earth. I was not yet convinced of this, but had the feeling, that must have been the case. And so it was, and they showed me briefly that bird and life. I was happy that I had decided at that time to follow the advice that this angel of God had given me. For the following life on earth was the judgment that was pronounced on me, when those stern men stood before me and said, 'We will judge you later. How glad I was to have put everything behind me. And I was told that I had now made amends and that God and Jesus Christ, the Savior, had forgiven me. They hoped in me, counted on me, that I would live valuable lives in the future and become a valuable tool in God's plan of salvation, whether as a spirit in the world beyond or reincarnated as a human being on earth. They hoped that I would only live my life to the glory of God, wherever that may be. And so I was happy that all of this was over. In the spiritual world, to which I had returned, I was later given tasks that I also fulfilled. I was shown the many steps that I had overcome through that difficult life, and I was told that from now on things would go up much more quickly because my soul had been purified through the difficult life that I had to go through. So I now live happily in the spiritual world with my brothers and sisters. I am in the service of God, and I am ready to take up this task, in their service to people, and would like to say to everyone, you should be very careful and very attentive in everything you do and what you say. For the harvest will come, and you will reap yourself, perhaps a part in the world beyond, but the rest you will collect for yourself when you have to return to earth. You will collect the reward in the world beyond, and you will collect the reward in a future life on earth. But you will also receive the punishment in the world beyond, and you will perhaps also feel the punishment in a future life. Therefore, it is very good if one aligns oneself with the laws of God and strives to always go towards the heights and to live a righteous life. So, dear brothers, dear sisters, I have tried as best as I can to give you an insight, on the one hand into my earthly lives and on the other hand into my beautiful homecoming that I was able to have. I was able to show you that this was a big step out of this burden into a beautiful, free world. And this was only possible through the goodness of God, through the love and help of the Redeemer, for he gave those angels the command to look after the unfortunate and to give them comfort. So everyone who returns home will also find comfort in their distress when they become aware of it. And so I say goodbye to you. God bless you. Joseph. God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, do you have any questions? Dear spirit friend Joseph, we heard that this brother was surrounded with great love in his life. It seems to me that this stems from merits from a previous life. Joseph. Yes, I would like to say that in those previous lives the ascent did not happen so quickly, there were also burdens in previous lives. However, every being in purification who is insightful is given the opportunity to ascend more quickly. If it is insightful, then the spirit world of God will also be insightful with it and will then create paths for it on which this being can make better progress. It is therefore born into a family, given to parents who know how to raise a human child with love and enable it to bear the difficult lot better. However, if this support is not given by the divine world and it does not pay particular attention to loving, pious parents and such a being comes into a family where the parents themselves are deeply burdened, then the possibility of such a faster ascent is also not given. Because the child then shares the burdens of the parents and becomes dissatisfied because the parents pass on to their children, so to speak, the spiritual values or burdens they possess. Dear Joseph, how long apart might the two lives have been according to our calendar? Joseph, not too long. Not too long? Can you be more specific? Joseph, wait, as a blind person, this brother died at a good age of 50. And before that, the time of purification in the spiritual world lasted, according to your concepts, between about 50 and 80 years. Dear Joseph, Emil led a good life as a blind person because he was born to good parents. But he has to come back to earth and pass his tests. Then it won't be so easy anymore. Joseph, yes, now you have to be clear that he has now reached a certain height and he will not lose that height, at most he will remain standing. And after he has lived such a life and his feelings and conscience have been refined, this achievement remains in the depths of his soul. There may well be certain offenses in a new life, he may stumble in certain areas, but it does not have to be the case that he is, let's say, a failure in his whole life. Rather, he may perhaps be burdened in one area, but may be very advanced in other areas. This then gives him the balance to keep his position or then to rise. Dear Joseph, in the case of this ascending spirit, the child was born blind. The question was recently asked why a child is born with Down syndrome and why people with Down syndrome have a similar appearance. Can you tell us something about this? Joseph, it is the case that certain bird and spirits go through their purification period together in the world beyond. They live together and there is a common preparation for life on earth. I cannot speak of a collective guilt, but they must pay off their guilt in the same way and bear it publicly in life on earth through this particular appearance. Is there a possibility of influencing this karma? To solve? Joseph, maybe for one person, not for another. You can't make a rule, it's up to God's spiritual world to decide. If, for example, Christian parents or a whole community pray a lot for such a person with Down syndrome, is there a possibility of alleviating this karma? Joseph, yes, it can be alleviated, but the appearance of such a person cannot be changed. You can help him through spiritual support so that this whole path goes much faster, and with the help of other people he can still make progress when he returns to the spiritual realm. I thank you. Dear Joseph, the world or humanity is currently shaken by a pharmaceutical drug that has been on the market, Kintogen. Because expectant mothers have taken it, children have been born with deformities. Who bears the responsibility here? Perhaps just the mother, or does the main responsibility lie with the manufacturer? Joseph, yes, I would like to say this, every person bears a responsibility. Not all responsibilities are equally important. In the context where a person has a task to fulfill, he must do it justice and bears a responsibility. For example, a housewife has the responsibility to provide her family with healthy food. God can punish her if she fails to do so through indifference or arbitrary action. In this, the housewife is given the responsibility to ensure the health and well-being of her fellow human beings. And so every company also has a certain responsibility to be able to justify its products to itself, to God and to fellow human beings. But I would like to come back to what you would like to know. You would like to know who in the spiritual world actually receives the punishment for these deformities. I would like to say that those who produce these products are definitely the ones who are held responsible first and foremost. Because whoever produces products that people take must test these products. The manufacturers must be clear that these products must never be harmful to fellow human beings. If they do not control such means sufficiently and sell them so carelessly out of greed and avarice, thereby causing great harm, misery and suffering to their fellow human beings because they are indifferent to them, they will be held accountable by the spiritual world. First and foremost, they will receive their punishment. End of the audio recording. Report of the ascending spirit being Emil and answers to questions from spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Court in Kaldenstrasse, Zurich. Template, tape recording. Next case. The 6th of February 1963, Albert, about the helpful work of well-meaning earthbound spirits. With the help of healing powers in nature, Albert wants to protect his little granddaughter from illness on earth. But outside of God's order, his work is limited. Control Spirit. God bless you, I am the Control. Dear brothers and sisters, an ascending brother by the name of Albert is speaking to you. Now we would like to hope that his story also contains many instructions. Albert, God bless you. You know my name, I have already been introduced to you. I will now try to tell you something about my past life on earth, but mainly about the first period of my existence in the divine world. I had a medium-sized farm, a daughter, two sons and a good wife. I traded, mainly in fruit and vegetables. When I passed on, it became clear to me that I had not always lived according to divine principles. I should have led a much better life. But at the beginning I could not really understand that either, because it was foreign to me that one would continue to live after earthly death. So I first had to adapt to this new life, and this was difficult, very difficult. Now I would like to explain that one of my sons had died as a result of an accident and had entered the spiritual world before me. He had left behind his wife and a small child.